We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hi, friends. This episode of Big Blue Banter is brought to you by Prize Picks. Head on over to Prize Picks and use promo code BANTER and they'll match up to $100 on a new deposit. Thank you and enjoy.
Welcome back. It's the Big Blue Banter, New York Giants football podcast. I'm Dan Schneier, joined as always my co-host, Nick Zalata. Oh, you son of a bitch. You motherfucker.
I was waiting for that, man.
That was not me that time. I can't believe I owned up to it. I should have just kept it as a lie the entire time. No one would have known. I listened back. You couldn't hear that. That was not a guaranteed fart. Like, if you're listening in, you wouldn't have known for sure that was a fart until I confirmed it. But somehow the chat was onto it immediately. Like, I saw the comments. Like, they just knew that was a fart somehow. But, you know, it is what it is. But we're back. We're talking Giants football. We're talking free agency. We're talking some big talking points today. A slow day, too, for the Giants free agency. I saw one fan say, day two of free agency was a bust. I was like, dude, what do you expect? Like, every day to just be filled with a slew of moves and signings and trades? Like, day two is a bust. Dude, day one had enough to do the whole free agency, to cover all free agency as far as interest, intrigue, and moves made. And the Giants handed out $150 million to one player. So, or a little less than that, I think, after the details came out. So day two was a quote-unquote bust, but in reality, day two was as expected. But there were moves the Giants made, including a big one at an interesting position that I want to start with today, Nick, and that's the quarterback position. The Giants were reportedly interested in Jameis Winston, a player who I had discussed that I would like to see his arm talent with Brian Daboll. Instead, they opted, he just priced himself out, I think is what happened. The Giants ended up ultimately signing a backup quarterback we're going to discuss in a second to a deal similar to the range they signed Tyrod for on an AAV basis, I'm pretty sure, if I'm not mistaken, or slightly less. But they were priced out of the Winston range. They were priced out of the range for Minshew and all of those types of players. And maybe that's for a reason. We'll discuss that today as well, Nick. But they ultimately ended up signing a player who arm talent, you know, definitely not, you know, he's got arm talent. And he has maybe arm talent that could fit what Brian Daboll wants to do from a vertically oriented passing standpoint. I'm curious to see. I know you've watched some of his tape, and that player is a 1 year up to $5 million contract, Drew Lock.
Yeah, Dan, if the Giants weren't going to get Jameis Winston and they weren't going to get Sam Darnold, the name I floated out there, I really did not mind adding Drew Lock because he is a 27-year-old. And I think we all kind of know who Drew Lock is. Mechanically, from a lower body mechanics standpoint, he's not going to be the best. He's going to make some mistakes, but there's some real serious arm talent there. And I'm going to run through plays on YouTube. You're going to see early on in this about 6 minute long video, there's going to be a lot of positive plays. And you're going to see on the one I'm showing right now, this is hitting a backside dig. We talk a lot about this. A 3-by-1 set. He gets through the front side read, sees the linebacker flare up on the hash. As you're seeing, this is quarters look. Both safeties stay high. None of them drop down. And that tips off the Drew Lock that he's going to have this backside dig wide open. And he zips it in there, as you'll see. So he has plays like this throughout his tape where you're like, oh, flashes of really good accuracy, really good velocity on the football. I did a video over at Big Blue View breaking down his tape. I'll drop it eventually on this channel as well, so you guys can head on over there and check that out. But when I watched the tape, I came away saying, I'm okay with this. Ultimately, this is a player you do not want starting for you. But if your starting quarterback ends up getting injured, he can come in and he can possibly win you a couple games here and there until there's enough tape on him to really throw him off. And I also felt like he was better against pressure than he was when he was with Denver. Now, these plays that you're watching right now, these are all going to be plays against the Philadelphia Eagles. This is 2-minute drill that we're watching at the moment. Remember, he led that drive at the end of the Philadelphia Eagles game, scored a touchdown on a beautiful pass to JSN. And this one right here, this is a very well-thrown ball to DK Metcalf, as we can see, right? From the far hash, hits the back foot, sees the safety work to the post, right? Gets him to flip the hips. And then he sends this football and just trusts DK Metcalf to come down with it. That's a great catch by DK Metcalf. He is somebody who has that, Dan, you know, F it, I'm going to chuck it up in the air. And that gets him into trouble. He can be a little bit reckless, a little bit careless with the football. But all in all, I think the flashes combined with Brian Daboll make me say, 1 year, $5 million, I get it's guaranteed. But for a backup quarterback who is competent, I can sign up for that.
Yeah, it's a very interesting move from a player standpoint. I'll talk about the financials in a moment. But just from a player standpoint and from his skill set standpoint, what does it say to me, Nick, when, you know, last year the Giants found some success with Tyrod Taylor from an explosive pass rate? They were up at 13%, more than double what they were with Daniel Jones in 2023, more than double what they were with Daniel Jones in 2022, more than double what they were with Tommy DeVito at quarterback. And with the explosive pass plays, it kept the Giants in games. It kept them in the Rams game against a playoff team that they almost beat, and it won them the Eagles game with the 70-yard touchdown to Slayton against a team that also made the playoffs that they did beat. And I think the Giants are looking at the next crop of quarterbacks that they bring in to play under Brian Daboll as having to have arm talent, having to have a willingness to throw those tight windows, to throw a backside dig occasionally, to hit a pass outside the numbers down the field, to have a little bit of, like you said, Nick, for better use of language, a little effort to their game. A little, I will throw, make this throw, and I'll worry about the consequences later. Because if I don't make this throw and all I do is hit the backside drag every time, time and time again, or hit the little curl against cover two time and time again, I'm not really going to do anything positive that way either. So I might as well take chances and try to drive the football into spots that can give my team a chance to pick up chunk gains in the passing game. And so Drew Lock, arm talent's never been an issue for him, Nick. Footwork, as you mentioned earlier, has always been an issue for him. I think, pretty like bad. You said, I'm sorry, what'd you say?
It's pretty bad.
It's
just inconsistent.
It's inconsistent. And, you know, I think he's probably worked with different coaches now, from the Broncos to the Seattle Seahawks, to kind of improve that. And he's learned different things along the way, and he's been taught different things along the way. And I'm sure he's taken some of that and worked some of it into his game. But some of it, I'm sure, has been hard to iron out with only a few reps a year, right? Like, you need to get reps in for you to kind of work on things and hammer things home and rep them out, for better use of terms. But with that said, he was traded to the Seahawks. He wasn't released at any point and picked up by the Seahawks. So they clearly liked something in his game when they brought him in. Like you said, he came in and won that that game against the Eagles. At the time, the Eagles were still playing good football. They hadn't fallen off just yet. Came in, ran the 2-minute drill against the Giants, scored a touchdown there, though. You know, that had some to do with the bad tackling by the Giants around the sideline there. But arm talent he's got, footwork issues, processing. I feel like the processing is interesting. You showed a backside dig. That's something I'm not positive it's possible, but I don't think we've seen Daniel Jones throw one backside dig in his career, at least not that you or I can remember. So this is something that, you know, getting to the backside dig is really showing advanced processing for the quarterback, at least from my mind. And most quarterback coaches and quarterbacks would agree with that as well. So I think there's some tools here, Nick. Now, as far as the deal they signed him to, 1 year, $5 million, or up to $5 million, I believe. What are your thoughts on what that contract means for the Giants quarterback position, what that contract means for Daniel Jones, and what that contract means for whether or not they will draft a quarterback in this class? Because that's where I think the question really lies for Giants fans right now. Like, that's what people want to know. What impact does the signing have?
I don't think it impacts them or precludes them from signing a quarterback if they're so inclined to. I think this
from
is
drafting
the
one you mean? Obviously,
yes, yes, from drafting one. My bad. This does not preclude them from drafting a quarterback whatsoever. The 1 year, $5 million, but it does give you insurance for a reliable quarterback. And I still think a quarterback with some upside, if you can iron out those inconsistencies, as you said before, that Brian Daboll can fix a little bit. And if Daniel Jones is not ready to play in the season, now you have somebody in-house that is not just named Tommy DeVito. I just think it gives you options. So no, the Giants are sitting there at six, or if they want to trade up, if Drake May or JJ McCarthy falls, or whoever they're really interested in, then the Giants can still go and execute that. And as Mason laid out on Twitter, there is an avenue to where the Giants could release Daniel Jones and just eat up buttload dead cap this season. Now, I don't know all of the details on that, but check out Mason on Twitter. I'll shout him out again. We did on a previous episode. I'm not sure if you're too familiar with all of those details. I think a signing like this at least suggests that that's a possibility. To me, it doesn't necessarily preclude the Giants from doing anything. It's just adding another Tyrod Taylor. That's kind of what this is in my assessment. What about you?
Yeah, it's interesting. As far as what you mentioned with Mason and what the Giants would have to do.
Real quick, and I'm sorry to cut you off, but just no so worries. We're here. Another aspect of Drew Lock's game that would piss me off, and I'm not saying that to really chastise him, but I just think it's a reality, is he's just late with the football way too often. Yes. And the two plays that I'm about to run, you could see he's still holding onto the football and
ball has football to be should out be way out. Early.
Yeah, and then that just results in it being sailed. It happens on this clear out where Tyler Lockett just sits. Like, Tyler Lockett is sit. He's already turning, and then Drew Lock firing the football, and that allows
him. That route is all based on timing anyway. You can't be late with that one.
So that's another aspect of his game that certainly needs to be cleaned up. These are going to be the negative plays of Drew Lock, by the way, that you're watching right now on YouTube.
And I wonder if that is something you can clean up for as far as the timing rhythm thing goes. Sometimes these quarterbacks have it or they don't, as far as anticipatory throwing and getting the ball out before the wide receiver gets out of his break and understanding the timing of every play. But maybe, you know, he's going to work with Brian Daboll, who's done a lot of good work with quarterbacks over his career, man. What he got out of Tommy DeVito to me is still unbelievable. And I honestly think what he got out of Daniel Jones at 22 is unbelievable, because I don't really believe that much in that talent and that processing ability. And then obviously, you know, fans don't want to admit it for some weird reason, but Tyrod Taylor played pretty good football, I thought, last year with Brian Daboll, especially as an explosive thrower down the field, given no reps, bad O-line, and all the same circumstances, with the exception of having Andrew Thomas back, and injured Andrew Thomas playing through a torn MCL. But back to Drew Lock and the quarterback situation, a few things unpacked there. As far as what you said about, would the Giants be willing to eat the dead cap and cut Daniel Jones this year as opposed to next year? I would think if they do that, Nick, they would probably have to start restructuring contracts that they might not want to restructure. For example, they'd have to restructure Dexter. They'd have to restructure Andrew Thomas. And by restructure, we just mean pushing dead cap dead cap to future years. I also think they'd have to, you know, turn some of these contracts. The Brian Burns contract, they structured it very flat. That would have to change. Like, they would have to restructure that contract almost immediately if you're going to take on all this dead cap this year instead of next year, where Jones is going to take on, where they're projected to take most of Jones's dead cap it. But I don't necessarily think it's definitely something I would rule out. I want to get to more things on the Drew Lock signing, so I don't want to jump into this yet, but we'll talk about some reports on that, and we can get into it then. But as far as, you know, does this mean the Giants won't draft a quarterback because they signed Drew Lock? I don't think the answer is yes. I think if you really look at this thing right now, the Giants have put themselves in position to really clear out and reset at quarterback. Drew Lock is on a one-year deal, right, Nick? This is not a multi-year deal. Daniel Jones is essentially on a one-year deal for the most part. I mean, there are some people who believe that he can play himself into staying on the Giants roster. I'm very skeptical of that, not only because I don't think he could play himself into it, but because even if he did have a really good year, do you really want to allocate $50 million in cap space to him the year after that? And do you really want to just not consider all the injuries and just be like, oh, well, he's durable now. We decided now, oh, he made it through 1 year again. He's durable again. I mean, he's had two season-ending injuries, and he's been injured every year but one. He's missed times with injury every year but one. So, I mean, there's no doubt about it. Injuries are an issue. And that gets into the next thing, Nick. So, anyway, the point being, I think they would be willing to draft a quarterback and then make one of those quarterbacks a game day inactive, whether that be Jones or Lock. I'm not entirely sure. Jones, I would still think, starts the season. Maybe that would be Lock, would be a game day inactive in that sense. But I don't think the Giants are unwilling to carry three this year at quarterback. And that's not going to be something they do every year. Most teams don't want to carry three quarterbacks. It gives you a roster disadvantage when it comes to special teams. But in a year like this, a transition rebuild year where you're retooling and you're kind of getting yourself set for a new era for the Giants football with Brian Burns as a franchise player, with hopefully a new quarterback and on a rookie contract scale eventually, either this year or next, I don't think it's the worst thing to carry three. What are your thoughts on that?
No, not at all. I mean, last year, and I hate to bring this up, and some people get pissed every time I do, but the Giants had a wide receiver on the roster that basically had no impact on the football field. Now, I think he had a huge impact off the football field. And of course, I'm referencing Sterling Shepard. They hardly used him. He didn't play special teams. It was essentially a wasted roster spot if you don't take into account, which it's very valuable, but if you don't take into account the impact that he had on the locker room and all of what goes along with that. But on the football field, he wasn't really doing much. So you can just get rid of that roster spot, and that can make up for your possible franchise guy. And if you don't want to part ways with Daniel Jones from a financial standpoint, you have him on the roster, cut him after the 2024 season. And now you have your rookie quarterback going into his second year. He can get some snaps this year if you want to use him. And now Drew Lock, he is that contingency plan if you don't decide to go with a quarterback in the draft, or if Daniel Jones isn't ready for the season because he's coming off a torn ACL. So that's the Drew Lock signing in a nutshell.
Yeah, and that's that second part. And we're going to get into the other signings, but I want to first get into some stuff on the quarterback position just because we're on the topic already. But that part, last part, is interesting that you mentioned, because, you know, Michael Lombardi from the GM, like, who knows if he, you know, everybody's hearing different things this time of year, but he's hearing the Giants have concerns about Jones's recovery being a little behind schedule. So if that is the case, and that there's no guarantee that Jones is going to be ready for week one, he tore his ACL in November. There's no guarantee that by September he's ready to go. I mean, every athlete recovers differently from these types of injuries. Some are quicker than others. Adrian Peterson has knee cartilage of a babe, newborn baby. He's going to, you know, be able to play running back 6 months later and rush for 1,500 yards or whatever the hell he ran for that year. But that's not everybody. And so, you know, if he's not ready and these concerns are true and he's not, and his recovery is behind schedule, they need somebody to start at quarterback for week one. And even if they feel like they can get a quarterback in this class and they're confident somehow, despite having the sixth pick, Nick, that doesn't necessarily mean they want to play that quarterback week one. They might, especially like if they don't feel the offensive line is at its peak or at the point where they can trust it yet, they'd probably want to play a guy like Drew Lock if Jones isn't ready for week one. So that doesn't surprise me. They were going to sign a free agent no matter what at quarterback. Joe Shane said it multiple times. There's another report from Judy Batista, though, who's pretty locked in NFL reporter, that suggests the Giants actually have long-term concerns about Daniel Jones's durability. Any thoughts on that?
I mean, he's been injured, what, every season except for the 2022 season?
Yep.
Makes plenty of sense. Like at this point, like in my opinion, the Giants are just waiting for them to get rid of Daniel Jones and it not affect their future all that much. I think if Joe Shane could go back, he wouldn't give that contract to Daniel Jones. Like they know that Daniel Jones isn't the long-term solution at this point. They're just biding their time and waiting for them to be able to cut bait for Daniel Jones. So all this talk is like, I don't know if Daniel Jones, you know, is he going to be able to be the long-term answer with all these? I don't think he can because of that. And also because of the play. I think there's a lot of reasons why the Giants should part ways with Daniel Jones at this point. But the reality is, financially, it puts a burden on them. And Joe Shane needs to exercise caution in how he parts ways with that contract. And it sucks because, again, Daniel Jones is six games into this contract. That's all he's played. So it's a wild situation. It's somewhat unprecedented, right? But I think a lot of people would admit that it's the correct move at this point, especially with the Giants picking at six. If the Giants do want to go quarterback, if they like multiple quarterbacks, you're not planning on picking this high again. And maybe if you're like, okay, 2024 is a complete reset year, maybe good luck, Brian Daboll, surviving it, if you can keep that locker
room and good luck getting in position to get the quarterback. And also, you just traded for a franchised edge who's going to help you win games.
Exactly. So like there are a lot of reasons to suggest the Giants would love to get out of this situation right now. So reports like the one Judy Batista came out with, and I'm not criticizing Judy at all, but like, to me, it's like, yeah, duh.
Well, it is duh to us. And I agree with you on that. And I don't think it's really breaking any ground, but I think, you know, to some people it is breaking ground because
agreed.
Not just because of how they feel about Jones, but just because they just did re-sign him to that contract. And now six games in, you're ready to just pull the plug and get rid of him, especially because a lot of people feel like those six games are unfair to judge Jones on. But, you know, if the Giants do decide to get rid of him, I think that tells all those people how they feel about him. And what that tells you is they believe you can judge him independently of the offensive line. And they believe that there are snaps and reps on tape that they were looking for him to progress on from a processing standpoint. Not, I'll tell you what, and you know this, Nick, because I know I'm not telling you this, but I'm telling the listeners this. And if you're going to watch a podcast like this that does film breakdown, you have to really understand. You have to, I would think that you have to take the word of the people who are, you know, literally spending hours. Me and Nick spend hours a week in season to rewatch, play it over and over again, four or five times, seeing it from both angles, multiple times. You want to look for an alignment now, you want to look for this. And there were a lot of plays where just the O-line didn't break down. It just didn't. It's not every play was a jailbreak breakdown. There were plays that I'm sure the coaches saw on film where they wanted Jones to get through his read faster. They wanted to get to a different part of the progression. You've seen Brian Daboll slamming the tablet when he doesn't throw the flag route to Waller. You see the stare down interception pick six to the Seahawks defender to ruin that Seahawks game where there's no pressure. It's just a terrible stare down first read. See DB sitting on the route the entire time to run it back for a pick six. And you see all these examples that we see and that we break down on a week-to-week basis. And it's not just like every play is a jailbreak pressure. That's just, I think that's the biggest disconnect that I think some fans will have when and if they do decide to move on from Jones. But we don't need to harp on that right now. I think, like you said, the Judy Batista report doesn't break any ground to anybody. But it's going to be interesting to see how this goes. And it gets me to my last point about quarterback. And I just want to bring this up to you before we get into some of these other signings. I heard a really interesting podcast today, or I heard it a little bit earlier today. Robert Mays from The Athletic, he was discussing how he had a conversation at the Combine last year with a general manager in the NFL. And that general manager talked about a new strategy, that you might start to see in the NFL. They're asking, what trends will you see? And it's this pre-spending strategy. And the pre-spending is essentially this. You start adding to the team before you bring in the rookie quarterback. And it's similar to what the Bears did with Montez Sweat last year. They traded for him despite being in a rebuilding phase, signed into a big contract. And now they, are adding that quarterback, most likely Caleb Williams at number one overall. And he was, bringing the discussion to the Giants. Is this what they're doing with Brian Burns, right? Are they adding this big contract, $150 million against their cap, because they know they're going to have the rookie contract coming in and they're going to save so much cap space by, you get rid of Jones. Once Jones is off the books for good in 2026, once he's off the book, Jones for good, you're saving $40 million a year in cap space at the quarterback position for your rookie quarterback. That's the true number. Jones is going to be over 50 at that point. You're saving $40 million a year. To even consider the Giants keeping Jones, they'd have to consider Jones's $40 million in cap space per year better than the next guy they can get at quarterback. That's how good of a year Jones has to have next year to validate them keeping him on the roster. But, it's an interesting idea. What do you think about this idea of kind of anticipating the cap space you're going to have at the quarterback position with the rookie deal and then spending before that?
Yeah, I don't know how new this is, but I think it's just on steroids now because the gap between a rookie contract and a quarterback who's on his second contract, it's massive now. Mm-hmm. And the gap between all the other positions, they're expanding now as well. This pre-spending, if we want to label it this, like did the Seahawks do that when they drafted Russell Wilson and they had that infrastructure in place? I'm not sure of who their free agent signings were, but they traded for Marshawn Lynch from Buffalo. They drafted insanely well, got Richard Sherman. They had Earl Thomas. So they had an infrastructure in place. Cause we on this podcast, we've talked about it for years. We were always very big believers in having an infrastructure in place. So a rookie quarterback doesn't come in and end up like Bryce Young. Instead, they kind of come in and they can rely on their veteran teammates around them to not just fall flat on their face and look like absolute shit. But this pre-spending, I think, is more apt for the current market in the NFL, because the current market in the NFL, those top contracts, you're getting paid, right? Like, you're getting paid a lot of money, and it's a lot different than when you're on your rookie deal. And if you have to look at the biggest difference in markets at a position, and it's the most important position, it is quarterback. And a rookie quarterback gets paid pennies compared to a Daniel Jones, who isn't even a good quarterback, who's making $40 million AAV. Right. So it's just, you got to strike every second you have on that rookie contract. You can't waste time, right? You can't waste time. If you really invest in a quarterback and you believe in that quarterback, you got to bring him in and you got to put him into the best position to succeed. But it's runs counterintuitive to the NFL, because typically the shittiest team is going to pick high and the shittiest team is not going to have a good team or a good infrastructure to surround that rookie quarterback with. So you really need to kind of pick and choose how you do this. I think the Chicago Bears are doing a really good job with it. They kind of fleeced the Carolina Panthers a bit. I guess you can look at it how you want. And Carolina thought it was going to be Bryce Young. If they went with CJ Stroud, we wouldn't be saying this probably. Bryce Young doesn't seem to be that guy. So there are some,
The quarterback, right? That's the hard part. Just like Brandon Reed said, you guys are going to kill me for trading all these assets for Josh Allen, and I won't be here. So I don't care. But you know who doesn't kill them now? Everyone, because it was all worth it to get Josh Allen.
Yeah, of course. But the thing that's interesting about Chicago and Carolina and why I say fleece is you took DJ Moore out of Carolina and you stuck Bryce Young with Adam Thielen as his best receiving option.
Yeah. I don't know how that should have been like when Accorsi told the Chargers. GM Telesco. Was it Telesco at the time? No, it wasn't Telesco. It was the old GM before Telesco. It was
way before Telesco.
He has a generic ass name. And I remember that dude, and he was a terrible GM.
It was just like Smith or something, but I'm gonna look it up right now.
Damn it. Once you say the name, I'll know it. But it's like when Accorsi told the Chargers GM, like, no, this deal won't get done with Osi Umenyiora in this deal. I am not including Osi Umenyiora. That's what the Panthers should have done with the Bears. I am not including DJ Moore in this deal. Figure it out another way. We're motivated to get this done. We're giving you a lot of assets. We're going to keep giving you assets, but not going to be DJ Moore.
Right, baby.
Who was AJ Smith. AJ Smith. Okay, nice. At least I got the AJ part before you said it. I knew it once I heard something, I could get it. Remember it in my memory. So okay. Have you seen the movie MacGruber?
I haven't.
Any chance? Okay. I think MacGruber is a very underrated, stupid but funny comedy. And there's one, okay. And there's one scene where they're like trying to get to the bottom of like who did what, and the other character is like, yeah, he starts to like say like what the answer is. Like they can't figure out the answer, and so he's like says the answer, and he basically says the whole thing. But then like the MacGruber like finishes the sentence. He's like, so it's like da-da-da-da-da-da. Yep, I got there at the same time, if not slightly before you. I just always found that so funny. Got there at the same time, if not slightly before you. That's how I felt like with the AJ Smith thing. But no, you got it there. But yeah, it's just like the same. It's kind of inside. You have to have seen the movie to like it.
No, but I think you did a good job. Explaining it.
Right.
Yeah, better than my farts. But I mean, I think they should have done that. They should have accordsied it and say, no, you can't get OC and you can't get DJ Moore. But regardless of that point, I don't know where we're going with that. I kind of went on a huge
I was talking about how Chicago, I don't want to use the term fleeced, I used it before, okay. But Chicago came out ahead, and how they're surrounding, if they do draft Caleb Williams, they're at least going to have a competent infrastructure, despite being a losing team last season, even though they didn't have the first overall pick. They got that from Carolina, but they're going to surround whoever their future guy is with good infrastructure. But also the flip side of it, you could say, well, why did they do that with Justin Fields? They traded up in the 2021 get Justin Fields, and that didn't work out. So there's trial and error here. It's not always going to be perfect, but yeah, I think this pre-spending thing is a wise way to build a team. And I think it's possibly what the Giants are doing right now. They're not going to be paying Brian Burns, Dexter Lawrence, Andrew Thomas, and Daniel Jones, right, all like top of the level type of, that's not what Joe Shane is doing right now. It's not. Okay. Like, stuff is going to happen before the season, or like, I don't think there's a path. Like, there's a very, okay, I shouldn't say I don't think there's a path, but there's a very, 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 very small percentage chance that Daniel Jones is on the Giants roster in 2025.
Yeah, a very small percentage chance.
Like,
because
infinitesimally small.
Yeah. Or, you know, maybe he can be on the roster if he just mans up, but if everyone faces reality and takes a massive pay cut. And I mean massive pay cut.
Yes.
Like, you take backup money, that's it. Or go to the market.
Or he turns into Josh Allen.
What'd you say?
Or he turns into Josh Allen in one season.
Yeah, he's going to turn to Josh Allen this year, of course, once he gets the O-line and the wide receiver. Maybe. Yeah. But, you know, I mean, he could still be on the roster in the future. He just has to take a massive pay cut. You're not going to be on the roster at $50 million plus for this kind of production. It's just not going to happen. But let's talk about some other deals that have gone down with the Giants. They signed Isaiah McKenzie, former Bill, Jalen Mills. And I believe that's it for now. And Chris Manhertz is visiting. And they also have what?
I said, yes, baby.
Yeah, that's a Nick Filato guy. We wanted a blocking tight end in here, another blocking tight end. And then one more to talk about, and we'll hit all four, is A.J. Dillon. Giants have some interest in free agent running back A.J. Dillon.
I think they want to find their downhill runner to pair with Devin Singletary. I think Devin Singletary is he's not a downhill runner because he is small, but damn, he's crafty as a runner, man. He's very crafty, and he's very light on his feet, and he has great spatial awareness when he is like kind of slivering his way through the line of scrimmage in the A and the B gap. But let's start with Jalen Mills. I remember watching him at LSU, so it makes me feel old seeing him now as a very established veteran in the National Football League. What's going on, Big Blue Banter listeners? I'm excited for the football season for several reasons. And one of...
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Those reasons is Prize Picks, which is North America's largest independently owned daily fantasy sports platform. And it's so simple to use. Instead of battling thousands of other players, including professionals, sharks, and people who are going to exploit you, you pick more than or less than on 2 to 6 player stat projections, and you just watch the winnings roll in. It's very simple to play and gives you a little extra skin. I've set my picks in less than 60 seconds. There are so many stats to choose from, and the withdrawals of funds are easy and quick. Dan and I will be adding a segment to our show before every game where we pick our favorite stats, more or less yards or touchdowns, what have you, and we'll be discussing why from a scheme, matchup, and game theory perspective. I love their promotions and how easy their interface is to operate at Prize Picks. I may select more on tackles for a loss from Bobby Okereke or Kayvon Thibodeau next game. They also do other sports as well. It's a really cool experience. Please join Dan and I in the fun of Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com/banter and use code BANTER for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, go to prizepicks.com/banter and use code BANTER for a first deposit matchup to $100. You will not regret it.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Oh, my friends, you know what time it is. You're hungry, you're starving, and you desperately need pizza. You should get the best pizza on the market. And that is, of course, Little Caesars. Make Little Caesars, the official pizza sponsor of the NFL, part of your game day. Order online during the pizza pregame all day on NFL game days and even on Pro Bowl Sunday. And get ready for some football fun and cheesy, delicious pizza. Choose your favorite Little Caesars pizza or pick the toppings you crave. Either way, you win. And speaking of winning, everyone scores with convenient delivery or our in-store pizza portal pickup. So grab some friends and enjoy a few slices during the game. You ever feel sluggish or out of focus? Are you stressed? Has your digestive system caused discomfort or flatulence like a certain co-host on this podcast during a live stream? If so, you should check out AG1. When I started drinking AG1 daily, I could feel a real difference in my daily health. I had more energy, I was better off at the gym, and I could focus on my work in a much more efficient manner. That's because AG1 is a foundational nutrition supplement that supports your body's universal needs like gut optimization, stress management, and immune support. Since 2010, AG1 has led the future of foundational nutrition, continuously refining their formula to create a smarter, better way to elevate your baseline health. Not only did I replace my multivitamin with AG1, but I love that every scoop also includes prebiotics, probiotics, and digestive enzymes for gut support. I recommend AG1 to all my family and friends because AG1 has a team of doctors and scientists that formulate around the latest science and maintains high quality standards within the industry. Even my friends have started drinking AG1, and they always tell me how energetic they feel and how it's helped them out at the gym, and also it's helped them manage their stress levels. If you want to take ownership of your health, it starts with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D3, K2, and 5 free AG1 travel packs when you first subscribe. Go to drinkag1.com/banter. That's drinkag1.com/banter to check it out.
But before we expound on Jalen Mills, Drew Locke, I just want to go over his stats last year. Appeared in 4 games, started 2 of them, week 14 against San Francisco in San Francisco, and then week 15, his come-from-behind victory against the Philadelphia Eagles. He dropped back 85 times, attempted 76 passes, completed 48 of them, so 63.2% completion rate. 543 total yards, a 7.1% yard per attempt with 3 touchdowns and 3 interceptions. In his career, he is 28-23 in touchdown interceptions with just over 5,000 yards and a sub 60% completion rate. So I just kind of wanted to lay out those stats. Anything on that before we discuss Jalen Mills?
No, I think it's self-explanatory there, and I'm interested to see how he translates to Brian Daboll's teaching.
Yeah, so like I was saying before, man, Mills, I remember him back at LSU. This is a safety slot. You know, he used to play cornerback at LSU, but I don't think he'll be doing that for the Giants on the outside, at least. He spent his first 5 seasons in Philadelphia, last 3 in New England. He was on the Super Bowl team, has 5,671 total snaps. Now, he used to surrender a lot of touchdowns. I remember when he was in Philadelphia, he was getting cooked quite frequently. 25 total touchdowns, what he surrendered. He has 7 career interceptions and 46 PBUs. I haven't gotten to a ton of film, but I know his role last year was dialed back a little bit. He played over the last 2 seasons, about 900, slightly over 900 snaps. So he's averaging about, 460 snaps per season. The way I think of him, and I do need to watch a little bit more tape, I've watched some, is he is comparable to Bobby McCain, not necessarily from a skill set standpoint, but from what they envision Bobby McCain's role would be, a veteran guy who can work in and he could play a multitude of different positions for you on the defense. I liked Bobby McCain from a processing standpoint and coverage. It didn't work out for the Giants last year, but Bobby McCain was not somebody who is effective in run support. Mills, while he's a little bit wild sometimes into the tackle point, he's more effective as a tackler. So that's one thing that I do appreciate. You can come in here, and if you need that veteran presence, and the Giants might need it on the back end now that Xavier McKinney is not there, you have a player who is adequate enough to come in, and he won't absolutely kill you, but not somebody who's going to be a great player for your defense, more than likely.
Yeah, it's interesting the way that they've kind of turned things over in the secondary this offseason already. Xavier McKinney left, went signed with the Packers, came back to the Giants as it was reported. Actually, I don't know if you saw this yesterday in the Post. Giants reportedly had a chance to match the offer and just declined to match Xavier McKinney's offer with the Packers. Then Dory Jackson hits free agency, hasn't re-signed with the Giants, hasn't signed with anyone yet. I'm actually really hoping he does sign a contract with somebody else. I need this compensatory draft pick to come back to the Giants. I mean, I don't want to lose Xavier McKinney and Barkley and have them both sign for massive contracts, but not be able to get any comp picks because the Giants signed like 17 different mid-range players in free agency the way the formula works, like every player you sign, doesn't matter how small the deal is, it cancels out those bigger deals. Like, so right now, according to Nick Corti, who knows this stuff, they're not getting any comp picks back currently, which is crazy when you lose McKinney and Barkley. But like, they need to have Adoree signed somewhere, and they need like a few other guys to sign other places. So we'll see what happens there. But the point being, like, I'm wondering if under Wink they were starting to prioritize investing in secondary, and if under Bowen it's going to be a different priority. They never really prioritized secondary in Tennessee. They even let Adoree Jackson go.
Well, they did draft Caleb Farley in the first round.
They drafted Farley. But they let Adoree Jackson go. They traded Byard.
Well, that's the thing, though. They actually did invest in safeties. Now, that could have been something from the general manager standpoint, but they signed Imani Hooker and Kevin Byard. So they had some safeties out there, which is funny because that's not necessarily the approach that Shane Bowen is receiving right now from the Giants front office.
Yeah, and I guess the GMs are ultimately going to decide this stuff anyway.
Exactly.
But I'm curious to see where they go at corner, the Giants, because they don't really have much on the roster right now at the corner position. So obviously Jalen Mills is going to help them, hopefully at safety. Mostly I think he'll just be a depth guy, but we'll see what happens there. And then Isaiah McKenzie is a player who the Giants signed, used to play with the Bills, and I was with the Colts. What are your thoughts on this signing?
I think Isaiah McKenzie is in the running to be the kick returner over a player like Gary Brightwell. He'll compete to take the punt returning job away from Gunnar Olszewski. I think he'll ultimately fail because Gunnar is one of the better punt returners in the league. But again, roster spots, they're going to be, you know, it's going to be selective if the Giants do roll with three quarterbacks. So if that is the case, this could be one or two. One of the players is going to make the team. The other one is not. This could be one of those situations where one of them gets cut. But I like it because A, it's a special teams asset and it's insurance for the wide receiver room. So he can add a special team value, and he knows this system. Brian Daboll likes him. We saw a lot of smoke last offseason about the Giants possibly adding McKenzie. Played last year. He only caught 11 balls on 14 targets for 82 yards in 2023. I think he suffered an injury. That was with the Colts. But it didn't really work out with Indianapolis. But in 2022, he caught 44 of 64 passes for 433 yards and four touchdowns. That was with the Buffalo Bills. And he had six touchdowns with Brian Daboll in Buffalo in 2020 with only 296 yards. That's quite the touchdown percentage on the catches that he had, which was only 33 that season. Damn, he caught 33 of 36 targets. So it's a depth piece, a special teams asset who is competent enough and familiar with the offense if Wandale, knocking on wood, or somebody gets hurt during training camp.
Right. Yep. And that's what we'll see what happens. They love their slot guys, the Giants, but I think he's got special teams value too and some juice. So we'll see what happens there. The Giants also have some tenders to consider. They would start at 1 year, $3 million. Isaiah Hodgins and Nick McLeod, two players who have been kind of Big Blue Banter favorites on film, guys who we think the tape shows better, showing them maybe the stats or the perception goes. What are your thoughts on either of those two?
$3 million is a decent amount, right? I'm curious to see, and next time we record, we'll talk about this. I'm curious to see exactly what the Giants do here. I think if the Giants, if they have it in their mind that they're going to go receiver at six, I think Isaiah Hodgins, he's not going to be had at $3 million. And I think the Giants could possibly bring him back for even cheaper than that. True. So I wouldn't be surprised if the Giants don't tender either and then try to bring them back on a cheaper deal. That's kind of where I'm leaning.
I think that's a great take, and I think that could easily be the case. Though if I'm Isaiah Hodgins, I'm not necessarily sure I'm taking that. If the Giants, depends on the direction they're going at receiver. Hodgins is an interesting case. When he was on the field last year, I still felt like he was playing good. And I feel like he was doing the same stuff he was doing on film in 2022, especially in the red zone. Just the offense was so inept. The passing game was so inept, and he didn't get a lot of snaps. I still believe in what I saw on tape in 2022 with Hodgins. I just generally think he's part of them. He's a big part of this mix of wide receivers who would look a whole lot better if the passing game was functional. And by passing game functional, I mean the quarterback play and the offensive line play. I'm not putting it on these receivers. I'm just not. When you watch the tape, it just doesn't look like that. I mean, they're not wide receiver ones out there. It's not like we're watching Jamar Chase run routes against these DBs and like, oh my God, he's open every play. But they're better than what people realize on tape. They're open a lot more often, and they're playing on time a lot more often. They're making plays when the football comes their way. Football's just, especially like considering how little they get from a volume standpoint, they're making a lot of plays when the football comes their way. It just doesn't come their way for whatever reason, the old line breakdown and the quarterback not processing what's there for him to throw to. So I'm still in on that. McLeod's a player who just every time we watch on tape is better than Pete. Like we think, like we don't understand why he's not playing a lot of snaps for the Giants. Maybe that was a wink thing. Maybe it wasn't. And we're going to find that out if they tender him. And I think he has a better chance of getting that tender than Hodgins, because I think the Hodgins could come back cheaper. But I think they might tender McLeod because they don't have a lot of secondary options right now. And because he was good on tape. I just don't know why the Giants don't really like him or didn't play him a lot last year, I should say.
It was odd.
You don't know. We don't know.
No, we don't. And Cager, no. I want to say, is a restricted free agent as well. So he's going to factor into that. And I don't.
I'd like to pass. I'm just kind of done with Cager. I don't need Cager. There's nothing he offers that I'm interested in at this point.
But there's another tight end the Giants are entertaining. They brought him in. That is Chris Manhertz. Anybody who's been reading my work at Big Blue View over the years, Chris Manhertz, every time he's a free agent, is somebody that I want the Giants to go out and add to the team, because he's going to be added for cheap. He's not going to offer you much as a receiver. He's caught 26 of 39 targets in his career for 271 yards and two touchdowns. I'm going to just go out on a whim and say both of those touchdowns were play action from like freaking 23 personnel at the 1 yard line, probably, right?
Yeah.
But he's 31 years old, so he's getting a little long in the tooth. 6'6", 245, 250 pounds. And I remember watching his tape at Jacksonville. He spent the last season in Denver, but at Jacksonville, he was a pretty damn good blocker. Now, that was a couple years ago. But from that time, if he's still that player and still has that type of upside, I think that's the exact type of player you want to bring here, right? Just a blocker, somebody who can take some of the load off of Daniel Bellinger, or at least give Daniel Bellinger flexibility to use his receiving skills. Because last season, he really never had a chance to do that because they needed him to block so damn frequently.
Yeah, you're right. And we've been calling for this on the podcast for a while, another blocking tight end to add to the roster. I think the Giants realize where they're at, where they were at last year, all the game plans they had to throw out because they had to use Bellinger to help Chip, and then they couldn't do what they wanted to do. So I'd love to add a person with this kind of frame to the mix to block at the end of the line of scrimmage, the Y, maybe give Bellinger some opportunities to go back and play different roles he played in 2022, for example, as an H-back, or even, in my opinion, as like a big slot. I think he has that skill set. I think everybody just doesn't realize that Daniel Bellinger was one of the most athletic tight ends in his draft class from a relative athletic score standpoint. His agility, his acceleration, his quickness, maybe not necessarily the 40-yard dash, but everything else. So I'd love to see him get some actual opportunities as a receiver. And I don't think that they've ruled that out just because we haven't seen it yet. As I said last year, and I know you've seen it, Nick, there's plays, times where he's open up the seam and the ball's just not coming his way for whatever reason. So I'm interested by that. I'd love to add a blocking tight end so they can kind of free up Bellinger a little bit, especially if Darren Waller retires too, by the way, Nick. Like, that's another factor. If Waller retires, just Bellinger left at tight end and nothing else. Like, that's crazy. Like, you can't go into a season with one tight end, or go into a draft, I should say, with one tight end, and you have to get one in the draft. They have to sign someone. And yes, I would like it to be a blocking tight end personally.
Yeah. And Manhertz fits that from his time in Jacksonville. And I'm imagining last year, I think he played last season, I want to say it was 367 total snaps. And remember Denver's tight end room. They had that kid who ended up coming up late in the season that Sean Payton just fell in love with. Right. Greg Dulcich, he was injured a lot during the season.
A lot of guys.
They had like three or four deep, and Sean Payton was just kind of recycling them.
Yep. All right. Last thing to get to, and then we'll wrap up. A.J. Dillon, the Giants reportedly some interest in A.J. Dillon. My thing with A.J. Dillon, I liked him when he was early in his career, Nick, and I thought he had some juice, and I thought he was a good player, especially in 2022. I thought he was horrible in 2023 for whatever reason. Maybe he was playing through injury, but I had him in fantasy, so I watched a lot of him, and then I watched some tape of him right before I made a trade for him in fantasy. I wanted to watch his tape, and his tape was just bad, straight up. I think he was playing hurt. He really just didn't look explosive at all. I have next to no interest in signing A.J. Dillon, personally. I mean, I'm open to it, but I just don't want to sign two free agent running backs. I'm good with one free agent running back, and that's it. Same. Get your rest through the draft. Like, I don't need to be banging the table for free agent backs. Like, unless it's like a vet min, which he's not going to sign or something. Like, just get me my backs through the draft. That's where I'm at. I'm fine with Singletary. You needed one veteran because obviously you're not just going to like turn it over to Brightwell and Gray and a rookie. But get me the rest through the draft is where I'm at with that.
I'm right there with you. A.J. Dillon looked bad last year. Guess how old he is, by the way.
Is he older than I thought?
No, he's not old at all. Yeah, but he plays like he's a little bit older than he is. He's 25.
Yeah.
So he was drafted young, second round pick back in 2020. He's got those Saquon thighs. So if you want to replicate that, you could bring him in. But damn, he was wildly inefficient last year, averaging 3.4 yards per carry, 613 total yards, only two touchdowns. Just his numbers are pretty bad.
Like his advanced numbers. Green Bay. So it's not really an excuse. And Aaron Jones had a lot of yards per carry behind that O-line. So,
and I know they tried to run him on power gap. He's much more of a downhill guy than a zone rusher. Like, I don't think he's terrible, like a footwork wise and things of that nature. I think he's just a bigger guy, but he didn't really play like a bigger guy. And that was an issue that he suffered through last season. So I'm right there with you. Devin Singletary, if you want to add somebody with the day three pick, fine, but I'm cool with just Singletary and see if Eric Gray or Gary Brightwell can earn some snaps and see what they have.
Yep. All right. That's all we have for today on the Big Blue Banter podcast. Kind of slow couple days for the Giants after the big first day. That's to be expected. And again, not every day is going to be crazy. But as we get closer, we're going to get closer to draft stuff. That's coming up real soon. We're going to have some good content. Hope you enjoyed the Drew Lock film breakdown here today, among other things that we discussed. Have a great rest of your week, and we'll talk to you soon.